Hello, everyone. What's going on? This is the Noah Gillian Show, and I, of course, am your host, Noah Gillian. So happy you decided to join in today. We got a full house for the National League preview starting it off today. We got longtime contributor, as always, Connor Laverty, and then we got a new contributor who's been on once before, Josh Arnold. Josh, welcome to the MLB preview pod. What's going on, dude?
Thank you for having me, boys. Appreciate it. It's always a pleasure.
Yes, sir. Third annual and first year Josh has been doing it. So the team is just growing over here. So it's going to be great coverage this year. But we got the NL East today, like I mentioned. So we got a lot to talk about. Before we get into that, though, if you're watching on YouTube, please hit that subscribe button. It really helped the channel grow. Same thing on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Please drop a 5-star review. You can find all our social media handles in the description below. So let's just get right into it. Starting off, we're going to go just alphabetical order like we have been doing through the American League. Now, as we shift to the National League, we'll start off with the Atlanta Braves, the defending NL East champs, I believe, or did the Mets get the tiebreaker over them? I think the Braves won the division, so they got that going for them. And coming off a 100-win season and a absolutely dominant team, I'll just kick it right to you, Josh. First off, is this the best lineup, bar the National League, in the entire major leagues? Is this one of the best, if not the best lineup in the league?
I'd say it's definitely up there. I don't know. Definitely top three. The best, I don't know. I don't know. That. I mean, that Padres lineup's pretty scary.
That's true. But,
Yeah, the Braves, man, they look great. You know, big position battles in the offseason, second base. No Vaughn Grisham. No Braden Shoemake. Orlando Arcia. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, that was a big, almost like a weird development. It seemed like Grisham had the shortstop gig pretty much locked up, and then all of a sudden he got sent down, and now it's Arcia get man in the number six spot there. So a little interesting, but I mean, it all gets kicked off at the top. I think we all expect a nice little Ronald Acuna bounce back this year. Kind of had a down year coming off the ACL injury. But this lineup is just going to be absolutely unfair. They had pretty much the front runner for rookie of the year in Spencer Strider. And then he didn't even end up winning it because they had a hitter doing his thing as well in Michael Harris. Obviously Austin Riley was an MVP candidate. Matt Olson is a stud in his own right. I'll pose the same question to you, Con. Where do you think this Braves lineup ranks in terms of the major leagues?
Yeah, it's definitely really solid. I mean, that top six is probably the best top six, or very close to the best top six. If you have Ozzie Albies hitting sixth, you're probably doing something pretty good.
Right.
I kind of wanted to talk about the pitching a little bit.
Go for it.
Obviously, there's a big loss for them. Rossiel Iglesias is going to start the year on the injured list. So the closer role looks like it's going to go to AJ Minter. Maybe Joe Jimenez gets some saves, but I don't know how much I trust that bullpen. They made a couple nice adds. They got Nick Anderson. Obviously, they got Kirby Yates a couple years ago, but we'll see. I think the bullpen could be shaky. One thing I do like is the rotation. Even though there's some injuries there, a guy I expect to take a bounce back is Charlie Morton. Last year, his numbers didn't look great, but if you look at the underlying numbers, I mean, he had an 82nd percentile K rate, 74 percentile whiff rate. He's a guy who's a veteran. He knows how to work his way around the zone. I expect him to bounce back. They got Friedman in contract year. He's going to have something to prove this year. He's already been good the last couple of years. Spencer Strider, you mentioned, obviously a stud in the making. And then a guy, Jared Schuster, who they said they're going to bring up and start opening weekend, it looks like, with their injuries. And he's a guy who pitched to a 3.29 ERA in minor leagues last year, had more than a strikeout an inning. I really kind of like the rotation. I'm interested what you guys think.
Yeah, it's sneaky. Josh, you got any takes on Schuster or that rotation in general?
Yeah, I mean, I personally like the depth of it. You know, you have Kyle Wright as your number three, I guess, who, you know, won 20 games last year, 19 games, 21 games, mm-hmm. something like that.
Yep.
Pitched to the mid, you know, mid three ERA. They just have just keep rolling out dudes, you know, and people forget they have Mike Soroka, hasn't pitched in 2 years, who's probably going to be knocking on the door after the first couple weeks of the season once, you know, extends a little bit in AAA. But then, you know, you have two rookies, Schuster and Dylan Dodd, stepping in the starting rotation, you know, picking up for those injuries. So they had great springs, both of them. They both look pretty sharp. So, yeah, I'm excited to see what they can do, you know, under the, you know, the real lights, the big lights, you know, not just against, you know, the mixed spring training lineups.
No, that's right. Kind of out of nowhere too. I feel like before the spring, I hadn't really heard of Dodd or Schuster. Schuster, that's his name, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of interesting to see that the Braves are just pumping these guys out even after, you know, getting freed and finding Strider, and obviously with Morton in that rotation as well. Another guy I just wanted to mention before we get to the win total and all that stuff, I think their defense is going to be remarkably better this year. The main reason why I say that is the addition of Sean Murphy behind the plate. Let's just call it what it is. Travis d'arnaud behind the plate was targeted by every single team to run on, and him taking a little bit more of a back seat, maybe getting a little bit more DH opportunity, I think is going to be honestly massive for their defense, along with the health of Ronald Acuna improving. I think this defense is going to be ridiculous, especially with the new rules, like we talked about on the show a couple weeks ago. I think just having him behind the plate is going to be massive. So I think that was definitely a point I wanted to make with this team, just because of the scale of the addition. So Khan, I'm going to swing it to you now. What is the win total? Got to be high for these Braves.
94.5.
Wow.
So to put it into perspective, the only team in the American League that had a higher win total than that was the Houston Astros with 95.5. The Yankees are 93.5. They were second highest in the American League.
So side note to the win total, the Braves, or just all NL East teams in general, the revamped schedule. We didn't really talk about that in the rule change pod, but you're playing your division less. So, you know, they get less games against the Mets, less games against the Phillies. Obviously, that means less games against the Nationals as well, too. But I don't know. 94.5 is high. I lean the over just because I could see like 95, 96, 97 wins. I don't know if they break 100 again, but that's a great line. I think I lean over, but. But that one's not a love.
I mean, I'll be honest. As we get to the team, you'll see anyway. But I like them better than the Mets. I always have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think so too. I think top to bottom, they're ready to go. So yeah. All right. So as we kind of wrap up the Braves, is there any other little piece of news? Any other piece of the roster we want to touch on before we move to the next team? All right. I guess let's just jump right to the next team, and that's gonna be the Marlins. The Miami Marlins. I feel like, Khan, we've jumped on this pod the last 3 years and we're like, dude, the Marlins are coming. The Marlins are coming. These arms they got, these young arms. And then, you know, they go out in 2021. They trade for Jesus Luzardo. They pick up Johnny Cueto just to be a vet on this pitching staff, I think is actually really important just with the number of young arms they have. And then, of course, they have the NL Cy Young winner in Sandy Alcantara. So, I know you're loving all these arms, Khan, so I'm just going to come to you right away. If that was where you kind of wanted to start, feel free to go there or take it wherever you want to go there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the arms are definitely the most appealing thing on this team at the moment. Sandy, obviously, just an absolute stud. We know what he's capable of. He's going to go out and give you pretty much 7 innings every start. We know how much we like Luzardo if you've been listening to this pod, and he started to look good last year. K rate in the 87th percentile, whiff rate in the 88th percentile. He was inducing a lot of soft contact, was not a lot of hard hits against him. He's got to kind of keep the control, the walk rate in check. But if he puts it all together, he's still got that like two starter potential, in my opinion. Edward Cabrera, a similar guy. He's got all the tools in the world. I know you guys probably can talk more about him. He's going to kind of keep the walks down too. I'm interested to see if Max Meyer can bounce back this year. I know Josh likes him a little bit. I have him on my dynasty team selfishly, but he was a guy who flew through the minor leagues, debuted after just 1 year in the minors, and then unfortunately had Tommy John. But hopefully he can bounce back, and we'll see if he could maybe crack the rotation at some point this year.
Yeah, what do you think about these arms, Josh? There's a lot of talent in this squad.
I personally love the staff as a whole. The biggest question mark, in my opinion, being Trevor Rogers. Pretty bumpy year last year. I think he pitched somewhere in the mid five ERA, something like that, low five. It's not a great year. Not ideal from the year he had in 2021. So curious to see how he bounces back. My personal favorite arm, aside from Sandy, is Ever Cabrera, man. That guy is just nasty. You know, change ups up to 95, fastball up to 99, just got Sandy Alcantara-like stuff, just doesn't quite have that control, hasn't quite honed it in yet. Walks are up. You just have to get the walks down and, earn the fifth spot in the rotation. So over Braxton Garrett, going to be excited to see what he can do. I think he threw five or six innings his last spring training outing. So he's extended. He's stretched out. He's, should be raring and ready to go.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a big key for them to be competitive this year. I mean, they went out last year. They only won 69 games, which is a lot lower than I thought. I think that more had to do with the lineup. Speaking of the lineup, they have just like every single second baseman in the league on this team. They went out and they signed Mean Gene Segura. They traded for Luis Arias. He's going to actually be playing second base for them. Gene's going to be at third. They're moving their superstar second baseman out to the outfield in Jazz Chisholm Jr. There's some things to like about this team, but honestly, I think it comes down to health for me because the biggest player on this team is Jazz Chisholm. And, he's got just over 2 years of service time in the MLB. And during that time, I can think of two different injuries off the top of my back that he's been dealing with that have kept him out for weeks. So if he can stay healthy, I mean, they're projecting him for 25 homers, 27 steals. We're talking about this with Adelis Garcia, Con. There's very few people in the league who can go 20-20, let alone 25-25, and still hit, 250. He's got projected for a 450 slug. So if he can stay healthy and he could be really, really good, it's just going to make this lineup. And another guy, I just want to put a low-key guy, Jesus Sanchez. I liked him a lot when he was coming up, but really struggled with strikeouts. This spring, he's been in a battle with Brian De La Cruz for, I believe, the left field spot, because obviously El Garcia will be in right field. So keep an eye out for him. Former top prospect. They traded for him from the Tampa Bay Rays. So that's just a name to kind of keep on the back burner, but I like him as well. Other than that, I don't think they're quite as bad as the Nationals are going to be this year, but I just don't know if they have enough to crack into the top three in this division. So, I think we'll wait to see there. Improved bullpen as well. So that's just another little something to throw on there. But I think they'll go. What'd you say?
AJ Puke.
That's right. I can surprise you didn't mention him.
Hopefully he can get the closer role. Yeah.
It looks like he is. I mean, him and Floro.
We'll see.
We'll see how that goes there. But I think that's going to kind of wrap up our talk on the Marlins. Con, coming to you for the over under. What do we got?
76 and a half.
That is the same as the Orioles, isn't it? Orioles were 77 and a half, maybe.
It's the same. Yep.
Yeah, we were loving that over. I think we're smacked. It won 83 last year. Regardless. So 76 and a half.
Don't love the lineup.
Yeah. Jorge Soler is your biggest power bat. It's like
he'll hit 20 plus. I like him on a bounce back a little bit.
Yeah. Gurriel off the bench too, low key.
Yeah, I didn't even peep that actually.
Yeah, he had a pretty bad year last year.
Yeah.
He's like 38. I don't know.
Yeah, but is he better than Garrett Cooper? I mean,
no.
No?
Not anymore.
He's a sneaky little bench bat, veteran presence on a young team, could
absolutely
be a good
absolutely
clubhouse guy. Going to be good as a whole, help them kind of mesh and build as a whole team. I think they'll be okay. I think I'd take the over on that, if anything.
Okay. I like that. Well, we'll see how that goes there. Let's keep it moving as we go through the NL East and move to the New York Metropolitans now. What'd you say?
What a horrible name.
The Metropolitans, man. Yeah. I don't know what's going on with them. But the biggest news definitely regarding this team is the loss of Edwin Diaz, their closer, in the celebration in the World Baseball Classic after they got out of the group stage. He tore his patellar tendon, so he will miss the entire season. I think that's going to be actually a pretty big – I mean, obviously, it's going to be a big loss. He's the best closer in the league. But I think it's going to be – I think that's going to be worth a few wins throughout the course of the season. They didn't rest on their laurels this offseason after winning 100 games. They went out and they signed Justin Verlander. They got Kodai Senga from Japan. They went out and made a number of other signings, especially to bolster their bullpen. So let me ask you this. I'll come to you first on this, Josh. I guess – What's do you think it's realistic that they can challenge 100 wins again, or do you think that was more of an outlier year for this team?
I think the team as a whole, when you look at it on paper, definitely has the talent to be a possible 100 win team. You know, David Peterson looked great. I think he's going to be a nice little fifth starter for them. Look great in spring training. I think it really just comes down to consistency of, you know, Kodai Senga and can these older guys stay healthy? You know, can Scherzer and Verlander approaching 40, Verlander is 40.
Yep.
Can they stay healthy for a full, you know, they did last year. I think Scherzer might have missed a little bit of time. But, you know, can they throw 200 innings? And, you know, they're going to need that out of those two guys. And, you know, you look at Carlos Carrasco. He's, I believe, 37 as well, 36. So he's not, he's no, you know, there's no spring chickens on that pitching staff, really, for
right.
lack of a better term. So, you know, the lineup's good as long as Pete and Francisco or Pete and Lindor are hitting, they'll be fine. But if they, you know, get cold, could get ugly. So I don't think they approach that 100 win season or anywhere.
I'm sour as well on that 100 win. What do you think, Connor?
Yeah, you know me, dude. I never liked this team. I feel the same way Josh feels. I mean, you're just relying on, obviously, no disrespect to Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander. They're probably the two best pitchers of our generation.
Probably first, second back.
And Kershaw, maybe. Like, those three are probably
Are probably the face of the starting pitcher the last 10 years, easily.
Yeah, 15. Anyway. Yeah. but, like, you're relying on them, and then, like, Josh said, you're relying on 36-year-old Carlos Carrasco, Kodai Senga, who's never thrown a pitch in major leagues before in his career. And then they're like, oh, Jose Quintana's on the IL. He had a nice year last year. He's 34, too. Like,
yeah.
Think that all of these guys are going to hold up over the course of a season is probably wishful thinking. And then I agree with the lineup assertion that Josh made. Like, if Lindor and Alonso aren't hitting, there's not that much pop in that lineup. One thing I don't like that they did is they're starting Eduardo Escobar over Brett Beatty. I don't think that's smart for them. Like, if you want another guy who can give you some pop, like, Brett Beatty could be one of the better guys in that lineup if he reached his potential. So, like,
yeah,
I don't know. You're substituting, like, Escobar, whose floor is low and his ceiling's low, for Beatty, who, like, has a much higher ceiling. I don't know. I didn't like that move from them.
Yeah, I like Eduardo almost more as, like, a short side platoon at third base. I know it's obviously with the handiness of hitters, it doesn't really matter. But, like, a vet, though, in the locker room, but, like, relying on him for 500 at-bats, like, I don't know if they give that to him. I think at some point Beatty comes up. But we'll see. I don't know. I think the health of Starling Marte is crucial. You know, he's a big part of this team. Currently projected to be in the second in the two hole right now in front of Lindor and Alonso. But I think you hit it the nail on the head, Con. Outside of Pete Alonso, there is little power on this team. So, you know, is that going to be a detriment? I think it could. But, you know, at the end of the day, they have Scherzer and Verlander. And if those guys can stay healthy going into the playoffs, I mean, they're going to be just as tough as out as any team in the league. But, you know, kind of contradicting myself, I mean, you saw, obviously, the Phils last year. When your offense gets hot, sometimes it doesn't even matter who you're going against. You know what I mean? Like, so I think that's also an interesting thing to keep an eye on. Also, they lost to the Padres in the best of three wild card, you know, series. So, like, if you're only going in a best of three, you know, you lose one of those guys to a tight hammy, whatever the case may be, you know, that's a huge loss. So, I think we're both all kind of sour on, or all three of us are kind of sour. What's the win total? What's Vegas thinking?
Dead even with the Braves, 94.
Wow. Under. 94 and a half is ridiculous.
I mean, they had 101 last year and they signed Verlander.
Lost to Graham.
I know.
Who didn't lost really to Graham, pitch. Lost Diaz.
He didn't really pitch. Diaz is a big loss.
That's
and they
fair.
Brought him down 7.5 wins.
That's fair. I'll still take the under.
I'm just playing devil's advocate. I hate them.
I thought you hate. Yeah, I was about to say, I thought you hated the Mets. They're definitely going to be impartial on that, though. They did lose also Chris Bassitt, Taijuan Walker. Like, they lost some depth True. Of that rotation as well. So I think it'll be interesting to keep track of. But that's going to wrap up the Mets. Let's hit the Washington Nationals real quick before we finish up the division preview with the Phils.
You could just skip the Nationals.
I'll give a quick headline. I just think this year is all about the development of their big package from San Diego, what they got back from San Diego. Can they get anything out of Mackenzie Gore? Is CJ Abrams what we thought he could be? Even the Dodgers trade with Scherzer and Trey Turner. Can Kieber Ruiz, you know, blossom into a guy? Can Josiah Gray blossom? I think this is just a year where you find out what you have. I can't believe Patrick Corbin's still on the team. That's just a ridiculous signing for them. But overall, I mean, I can't see this team being super competitive. You know, I'm hoping CJ Abrams just leads off and steals a ton of bases for my dynasty team. But other than that, yeah, I don't know if you guys got any people you're keeping tabs on the Nationals this year or what, but we'll say.
I'll let you take that one, Josh.
I mean, you really just kind of got to sit and wait and hope that James Wood becomes the next guy, right? I mean, there really isn't much to like on the current roster. I mean, a lot of young guys that have a lot to prove, as Noah said, pretty much the nail on the head, you know. Kind of a guy that I always found interesting that I thought has always underperformed his potential is Victor Robles. So hopefully he can, you know, provide a little bit of, I guess, veteran spark for the young guys, even though he's only like 25.
Yeah, he's 25.
12 years. But yeah, I'm also very excited to just bet against Patrick Corbin every single time he takes the bump. So
opening day against the Braves.
I'm going to take the over and the Braves.
One guy I do kind of like in the lineup, Luis Garcia. Only 23, kind of plays anywhere in that middle infield, second base or shortstop. He's got a good hit tool. I think he could be solid for them. He could maybe be a piece for them moving forward if he pans out. But
So
left Lane Thomas out. Lane Thomas is not bad. He's pretty good.
Yeah, he's going to probably lead off for them this year for most of the year and see how they go. But yeah, I think just a typical rebuild year for a team in transition. You know, they still have a more recent World Series title than the Phils, so I guess that's hanging over our head. But yeah, let's move through the Nats. Not too much else. Is there a win total?
And a half.
What is it?
60.5.
That's the same as the A's. Oh yeah. My God.
Who's worse? Definitely the A's.
Definitely the A's. Oh, man. There's at least some young guys that have like some potential. I mean, the Nationals won 55 games last year. I think the A's won 60. So
they did. Yeah.
I don't know.
That Nationals pitching staff just makes me want.
It's so bad.
And Cade Cavalli, one of their young prospects. TJ.
Their bullpens, Kyle Finnegan. He's fine. He's not that bad. Carl Edwards Jr., Hunter Harvey, Erasmo Ramirez, Mason Thompson, Anthony Banda, Hobie Harris. He sounds made up. And Thad Ward. You can't tell me either of you know who Hobie Harris is.
He's a non-roster invite. I don't know who that is.
Yeah, good luck.
So I think that's enough about the Nats. Let's move on to your National League champions, the Philadelphia Phillies here, coming off obviously a magical run through the postseason to the pennant and fell two games short of winning the World Series this year. So obviously, I think the main thing that the big thing is Bryce Harper and his injury. I think that has been kind of a big thing for a lot of projection systems when it comes to projecting the Phillies this year. I know a lot of when they came out in terms of win totals, we were kind of like, they're kind of being disrespectful with some of the things, but I think having Bryce being out, he's going to be out till probably about the All-Star break, maybe a little bit before sometime in June. But we'll see what happens there. Obviously, Connor said this at the very beginning of our, MLB preview, but Reese going down is a massive blow to this lineup. You know, just one of the stalwarts for this team. But on a positive side, they go out and they sign Trey Turner, universally regarded as one of the best players in the game. So overall, this lineup's going to have to mash. The back end of the rotation is kind of getting a little in flux, but I'll swing it over to you guys. Let me pose this question to you. Between the bullpen, the rotation, and the lineup, all three made additions in this offseason, what has you the most excited for the 2023 season? Con, I'll come to you first.
The lineup.
Okay.
All go boom. We got Trey Turner. It's got to be the lineup. I think I know Harper and Hoskins are obviously two huge losses, but Turner's a massive addition. Schwarber's a guy who hit 48 home runs last year. He's probably not going to do that again, but he could touch 40. JT, just as solid as it gets behind the plate, bouncing on a big Nick Castellanos bounce back year. Yeah. Alec Baum looks like he's shown some more power and some more lift on the ball in spring training. Bryson Stott, I expect to take another step forward, another young guy. The lineup gets me excited.
Also, Brandon Marsh, I did want to just throw a shout out. I, you know, as your nine-hole hitter, a young guy, only 25, former second-round pick of the Angels, I'm really excited to see his progression after an offseason with Kevin Long and seeing there. So I'll swing it to you now, Josh, out of the rotation, bullpen, and lineup. You could say the lineup again if you want and touch on anything, but what's got you most excited going into this year?
I think you're going to see, you know, Wheeler and Nola are going to shove like normal. I think T1's a great addition. I think the pitching staff is going to do its thing. The bullpen's going to be solid. I would interested to see if Kimbrel's going to end up, you know, fully taking that closer position. He looked really good in spring training. But honestly, the thing that I'm most excited to see, and, you know, as much as I love Rhys Hoskins, it's a shame he went down. I actually cannot wait to watch Derek Hall at first base. I think that he is going to be a huge part of this roster. You know, when you look at last season's stats and you go plate appearances per home run, would you say Derek Hall or Rhys Hoskins had, you know, a better plate appearances per home run?
Rhys probably had 30-something home runs, but
Rhys Hoskins hit a home run every 22.4 plate appearances.
Okay.
Derek Hall, and, you know, a quarter of the sample size given.
Right.
Home run in every 15.7 at-bats. Or 15.7 plate appearances, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Rhys Hoskins hit 30. I think that's not out of, you know, if you give Derek Hall the at-bats, and, you know, he continues to hit 250 as he did last year and 150 plate appearances, I think it's not unrealistic at all to say that he could hit 30, if not 35 or possibly 40 home runs if he, you know, catches, you know, month-long heater. So I'm super excited to watch him play. I think he is going to be a lot bigger of a piece than most Phillies fans think.
Yeah, I think that was kind of big. I mean, a lot of people have kind of been hating on Rhys and want to get him out the door to kind of undo the logjam at DH and with Boehm at third base. But honestly, Boehm has made some crazy strides defensively at third. So we were talking about it a little bit. Connor, do you move Boehm to first, have him start at first and have Sosa at third? Yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like Boehm built up such a confidence last year toward the end of the season. And, you know, even in spring this year, I've seen him make a number of good plays. Still work to be done. But I think that instead of just taking all that work and not throwing it out the window, but like just moving him to first and like have him almost learn a whole new position, not almost. I think it's just like, I'd rather just leave him at third. And Derek Hall was going to be a roster casualty. Let's call it what it was. He was probably going to be down in AAA, you know, still mashing down there. But now that Rhys is hurt, you know, I think like Josh said, you give him 450, you give him 500 plate appearances this year. You know, like you said, I think on the low end, like his floor is probably like 20 homers. You know what I mean? Like at least that.
Yeah. So I'm gonna give a little pushback here.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, I don't have the exact numbers up, but a large sample of his plate appearances last year were against righties. We only put him in against righties. In his career in the minor leagues, I'm pretty sure he's a sub 200 hitter against lefties. So I like the power. I love the bat against righties. I think he's got to sit against lefties unless he proves that he's truly made an adjustment. But I think when a lefty's on the bump, we got to go Baum at first and Sosa at third. But I like the righties. I just don't know if he's going to touch 500. I guess he could. I mean, we're going to face more righties than lefties. But
yeah, I mean, he only had 12 plate appearances last year against lefties.
Exactly.
And 130 against righties. So, you know, obviously that's going to be a big, you know, a big stickler. Do the Phils go out and do they pick up a righty, you know, to play on the bench? I don't know.
Sosa's fine. I like Sosa.
Right. But someone who could play first base.
Got to keep Baum at third, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think you can move him around that much. I don't think he's a guy that can really take that back and forth across the diamond. You know, he seems like a guy that kind of needed to get into the swing. You know, once he like got a rhythm somewhere, he was good to go. But I can't feel like he's a rhythm guy. He's a
Schwarber at first.
I was going to say even
– very possible.
Yeah, I was going to say even a couple of days a week, maybe, or a day or two a week, put JT at first. Yep. Then put Stubbsy behind the plate and pick up, you know, carry a third catcher that day or something. An interesting name, actually, that got cut by the Mets, Darren Ruff. Is on the wire. I don't know. Like he's a righty with pop that can play first base. Obviously got cut by the Mets, so you know, who knows. Luke Voit was another name, but he re-signed with the Brewers. That's where I just like, I don't know. I think Connor's point's super valid. Like, what happens when there's a lefty on the plate? Like, do you just stick him in there and let him go? I mean, they already said they're gonna let Marsh hit against lefties, even though he struggled, you know, a lot last year. So, you know, that's where it kind of can Sosa play first? Like, you know,
another center fielder.
Right? That's true. So I don't know. I think that's probably the biggest you know, discussion right now around the team, because everywhere else is pretty much set up. I did just want to touch on the bullpen real quick, because I kind of feel like we glossed over that, but I've seen MLB Network, they put out like their top 10 bullpens or whatever, and the Phillies were included in that list. I think they were number 7 of like top 10 bullpens in the league. And like, just from where they were a couple years ago to where they are now, I just thank my lucky stars every day we got Dave Dombrowski running the team, because A, Sir Anthony Dominguez is healthy. He's probably my favorite pitcher on the entire team. I think he's one of the best pitchers in the entire league. But regardless, Alvarado, what he was able to do in the minors and coming back. Honestly, Josh, I'm super excited to see Kimbrel, but I'm also excited to see how he handles maybe not closing games, because we saw it in Chicago. He kind of struggled in that setup role. So, like, you know, I don't know. Like, does he have to close? Like, is he one? I mean, obviously, he's, you know, probably a Hall of Famer. You know, he's going to have a legit chance to make the Hall of Fame. He's got 300. I don't even know how many saves he's got in his career, but he's one of the all-time leaders in saves. So like, he's got the pedigree behind him, but they also have Alvarado, Dominguez, who closed big games down the stretch last year. So I don't know. And I think it's an interesting talking point, definitely to see who could close. And then another name, Khan, I'm going to bring it up. Junior Marte. I don't know how you want to say it. We talked about this when the deal went down, that these were the types of moves, and nobody knew who it was, but he's going to make the opening day roster. I did this yesterday with Andres Munoz. I'm going to look up Junior Marte Statcast stuff. If anybody,
slider's filthy.
Oh my God, absolutely. Yeah. So let me just. He's got a 94th percentile fastball velocity. I mean, 80. Not great whiff percentage. 57th percentile. You know, does a good job limiting a hard contact. 84th percentile on average exit velocity. 72% chase rate. You know, like you said, Josh, the slider is absolutely nasty. You know, I'm just amped up. They got a bunch of fireballers in this bullpen, and you know, I definitely wanted to give those guys some love. But
wait till Ranger's back too.
Yep. Once Ranger comes back, he'll bolster up the rotation, and we'll see what happens. What's the win total for the Phils, Con, this year?
88.5.
Wow. That's very interesting. 88.5.
One more thing. I saw an interview with Jazz Chisholm, and they asked him who the hardest pitcher for him to face in the league is. And he said Ranger and Sam Coonrod. And I thought that was so interesting.
Wow.
I don't know if he was like trolling, but I was like, he was like, I just can't hit those two. He's like,
they
were
the two hardest
guys for me to see in my entire career.
Ranger was just so nice.
I was like, I mean, Ranger I could see, but I was like, Sam Coonrod, really?
Yeah.
I was like,
that's
yeah. Yeah, I think Coonrod actually just got picked up by the Marlins, maybe. I saw him on one of the team pages. He's in the NL East somewhere. But yeah, lefty on lefty makes sense with Ranger, with just how nasty he is. So yeah, I'm amped up. 88.5. That's so tough. 87 wins last year.
Stay away from me.
If you took the over, that's a heart bet right there.
Yeah. No doubt.
But yeah, is there anything else in terms of the Phils, the NL East race? And let's we'll finish it up with our last topic right here. Let's get one breakout player in the NL East. Could be a pitcher, could be a hitter, anything in between. I guess I'll swing it to Connor first. Do you have a name that you could see breaking out this year in the East?
I got two.
Ooh.
I got Jesus Luzardo.
Okay.
He's going to take another step forward.
Okay.
And then I'm going to say Andrew Painter. I'm going to say.
Wow, we didn't even talk about Painter.
I'm going to say he comes back in June, maybe May, and I am going to say he pitches well when he comes back.
Okay. I love that. I love that optimism. Josh, what do
you think? ERA, yeah.
Okay. I like it. What do you think, Josh? Who you got?
I also kind of have two. One being Edward Cabrera. As stated earlier, I think he is as advertised and he is the real deal.
Yep.
And then Ellen, who I mentioned earlier also, Vaughn Grissom. Cannot believe that guy did not make the opening day roster when, you know, a week in, 2 weeks into the season, when Orlando Arcia is hitting .140, they're probably going to reconsider and call Vaughn Grissom up. And I think you're going to see, had played well last year. Just needs to work on his defense a little bit. I'm working with Ron Washington. Should be good to go. But yeah.
Those two, I like that.
Arcia and Eduardo Escobar are going to be joining the pine, sitting on the pine soon.
Yeah, I'm going to be eating my words, and they have 10 bombs combined by freaking April 20th.
Me too.
Oh, my gosh. I have one. I'm struggling with this one a little bit, but I'll go with the name I kind of talked about earlier with the Braves. I think Sean Murphy, now that he's out of Oakland and he's going to be playing a lot more national games for the Braves, I think he's going to really come to the forefront and maybe be talked about in that top five in catchers. For he might even already be there, but I think he's going to have a legit claim to be one of those top tier echelon guys. So Sean Murphy's my pick. And then that's going to kind of wrap up our talk then for the NL East. If there's nothing else, I guess we'll wrap it up and conclude the East here. All right, yeah. So we'll put a pin in it. We'll wrap it up there. So that's gonna do it for the show today. Definitely, for you guys tuning in, check the description below for all our social media handles. And you always feel free to shoot us questions if you have any. And then, like I said, thanks for tuning in. We'll look forward to seeing you guys back here again next time.